Okay, we have a lot I want to cover this morning, so let's go to our prayer, and then our prayer, testing yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. Your plan, Heavenly Father, is saturated with grace. It's founded upon grace and mercy. And we're so thankful, for we have nothing to offer. Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I want to show that I am sensitive to requests. It's been requested that I do the study that we did at Camp of Forgiveness. So I listen, and so we're going to spend this morning. And I'd like to begin with Colossians 1. You'll open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. When I first saw this, I was just so excited that this was the overriding verse of the camp. And it came out of Colossians, and so let's start with that. Colossians 1, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, in order to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So, start off with a rhetorical question. Why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross? Why did he have to do that? And what happened on the cross? So, major part one, were all sins forgiven by the cross work of Christ? The answer is no. All sins were not forgiven by the cross work of Christ. So what did happen then? Punishment for all sins was paid for, but not forgiveness. But not forgiveness. Point two. So what happened on the cross? Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So what happened on the cross? A, everyone, unbelievers and believers, sins were paid for. It's called the doctrine of propitiation. Doctrine of propitiation. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. B, forgiveness takes place only when you believe. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Before camp, Laura Day came up and with a troubled expression, and she said, "Herman, I'm just having a lot of trouble with various passages." And I said, "Okay, like what?" And this was one of them. And so we covered this at camp. Look at Acts 10, verse 43. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins requires faith in Jesus Christ. Propitiation? No. Because of propitiation, at the great white throne judgment, the sins of the unbeliever will never be mentioned. They are paid for in full. They're not an issue. They're not an issue. But forgiveness takes place only when one believes in Jesus as his Savior, and they are reconciled with God. Unbelievers are neither forgiven nor reconciled with God. Reconciliation and forgiveness takes place at the point of faith in Christ. This will clarify a multitude of passages, primarily in the book of Acts, but even in some of a couple of Paul's writings. Makes it a little confusing. So, I taught this, and I had to teach this to the fourth graders, and then to the older teenagers. And I had to figure out a way to teach the young children propitiation, and we dealt with the idea of satisfaction. They did understand that word. Fourth grader, you understand what to be satisfied means. And they all shook their head, whether they did or not, they all shook their head. They understood being satisfied or satisfaction. That is a synonym, not a rich one, but nevertheless a simple synonym to be propitiated. God is satisfied with the death of Christ on the cross as the payment of all sins of the world. It's taken care of. Forgiveness is a whole other issue between God and man. Now, major point three. What happens at the cross to all those who do not believe in Jesus Christ? A, they are propitiated with God. God is propitiated as far as their sins are concerned. B, their sins are paid for by the spiritual death of Christ. Now, four, point four. What happens at the cross to all those who do believe? A, God does 34 things for them. And I passed out a book, 34 things that God has done. And B, they are forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. And C, they are reconciled with God. The unbeliever is never reconciled with God. Never forgiven, never reconciled. Okay? Point five. When does forgiveness take place from God? At the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Six, so who are you in Christ? That was kind of the momentum of the camp. Who are you? Who am I? You are forgiven of all sins. You are reconciled with God. You are in friendship with God. Seven, what did you do to receive forgiveness of sins? By faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of sins. B, as a believer, you are forgiven in your life when you put your faith in the Holy Spirit and it restores you with Jesus Christ, restores the fellowship. By faith as a believer, we receive what is on. Now you got to realize at the camp, I had to went over and over in different ways. I went down and played with them, got in their face, and talked to them, had all kinds of fun with them. And I have something I want to tell you about that. By faith as a believer, we receive what is already ours: forgiveness of personal sins. Now, eight. Well, by the way, let's stop at point seven. Any questions up to point seven? Yes. Yes. They don't get the benefit until they believe. Yeah, beautiful. That's exactly correct. You want to be benefited by His love. He will love everyone in the lake of fire. But they're not benefited by it. It's not just a matter of being loved, it's a matter of benefiting from that love. Many are the husbands who are not benefited by the love of the wife because they don't want to be benefited. Many are the women who are not benefited by the love of a husband. They don't want to be benefited. You've got to want to be benefited and know how to be benefited from love. And when it comes to God's love, it's simple. By faith. And faith alone. That's how we're benefited from His love. And point 7, what did you do to receive the forgiveness of sins? By faith. Point 8, how should this affect your life as a Christian? How should this affect your life as a Christian? For the answer to that, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another. We're getting ready next Sunday to get back into 1 Corinthians 13, where we have the 16 impacts of spiritual love. And the second is, love is kind. So this is a command of spiritual love. Be kind to one another. We'll study what that means. Tender-hearted. What does that mean? Now, forgiving each other just as God in or through Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. How does this in context refer? Imitate Him in forgiving one another. Therefore, we forgive one another. And here's where I spend time. Christians have the greatest of foundation, reason to forgive one another. Forgive husband, forgive wife, forgive family, forgive people at church, forgive work, forgive everywhere. Christians have the greatest foundation. We have the cross. When we forgive someone, it has nothing to do with us and them. It has to do with Christ's work on the cross. And because of Christ's work on the cross, we forgive them. That's how we are forgiven. We are forgiven them just as God has forgiven us. Now, what we did next was we talked about some definitions. Propitiation. Propitiation. By the way, what happened was I was so pleased. Laurie came to me Tuesday late afternoon, early evening, and before chow, and said, I want to share something with you. I said, okay. She said, it's encouragement. She said, Sunday, which would be the first full day at camp, after the main session, because they have the young children meeting at 9:30 in the morning, the older ones meeting late afternoon. And after the 9:30 session, they go to their little groups and talk about what the primary speaker talked about and Bible verses that they were given. And she said that she had the little girls, fourth grade little girls. And she said the first day, well, it took us a while just to get quiet and get into the Bible. And she said the second day was very interesting. Now, this would have been Monday. She said a lot of questions came up they did not understand about salvation. Various aspects that were confusing to them. And she said, Herman, third Tuesday, the last day of camp, Wednesday was closed down, and I spoke Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon to the older ones. She said they all walked in. And I said, okay, let's pick it up from yesterday. And nearly everyone said, we now understand it. We got it down. We understand salvation. We understand what happened at the cross. And she said it was just unbelievable. how they were just responded so well to what had happened. But what we dealt with was the definition. And propitiation, the God side of the gospel. There's a human side and there's a God side. And on the cross, Jesus Christ removed the problem between the penalty of sin, between mankind and the righteousness of God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. By being the sacrifice that would satisfy, propitiate God. We're not propitiated. Don't ever say we're propitiated. God is propitiated. God is satisfied. I remember a hymn we used to sing, "Are You Satisfied with Jesus?" And I was really proud of the preacher back then. He said, "It doesn't matter whether we're satisfied, is God satisfied?" And he said, "That's the great issue." And so God is satisfied, propitiated. His righteousness is fulfilled, satisfied, propitiated by the work of Christ on the cross. Let's look at 1 John 4:10. We've looked at 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Now let's look at 1 John 4, verse chapter 4, and verse 10. In this is love. That. Or not that. We love God. But He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction of the judgment of our sins. So these are the two primary verses that deal with propitiation. By being satisfied, and satisfied the righteousness of God. People make a big, a lot of people, unbelievers, believers, preachers, make a big deal about the love of God. And indeed it is. But people never set aside the all importance of His righteousness. His love never counters His righteousness. Never. Never overrules His righteousness. His love satisfies His righteousness, but never overrules it. So if we want to say, is there a ruling essence of God? Be His holiness, His righteousness, and His justice. That is the ruling factor of God. That's what has to be satisfied. If you could, just to make my point, and I babble now as a fool, let's take out righteousness and justice of God. He can love unbelievers, save unbelievers, save everybody. No problem. Save everybody. But when you put in righteousness and justice, that's not possible. That's not possible. He has to be satisfied. And if righteousness and justice is satisfied with the work of Christ on the cross, and then by simple faith in Christ, He saves anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Now, that brings up the next definition, forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean? Say, what does it mean? How can I communicate what forgiveness means? We use it all the time. Well, some of us do. Some of us don't. But some of us, I forgive you. Say, forgiveness means to cease resentment against the offender. To cease resentment against the offender. Forgiveness is a conscious, and I made very sure they understood this, a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who've harmed you. And here I took time and I got up here and I said, okay, what I want you to understand, sin causes a problem. Now, you understand this on a personal level when someone hurts you. Someone criticizes you, hurts you, hurts somebody you love. But with God, any sin offends Him. And there is a debt now. So every time we sin, we can print out, I owe you, God, for this sin. Sin sets up a debt that we have to pay. And forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release someone of that indebtedness. Now, do you understand, young people? A conscious decision. You have to get by yourself, maybe, and make a decision. I am forgiving this person of this offense. Now, you can say the words. I'm talking about in your soul, meaning it. You've got to leave the vengeance up to God. Let me explain to you, and here we spend a lot of time, let me explain to you something about being hurt. Now it's up to you. It's no longer them. They've hurt you. What are you going to do with your hurt? This is where your relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God and Christ, come into effect. What are we supposed to do with our hurts? Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. It's no longer about them. Yes, you want to go up and punch them right in the nose. I got one of my right in the nose. Punch them right in the nose. See? Because they hurt you. And that's going to take care of your problem. Because you get to hurt them back. But does it really? What are we going to do with our hurt? What are we going to do with the offense that has been played against us? That's the great issue. So now, they're really out of the equation. You now stand before God as a Christian. What are you going to do with your hurt between you and God? Is God big enough to take care of your hurt? Let Him take vengeance and let Him heal you. That becomes the great issue, people. This is why, young people, it's so important to learn at your young age to cast your cares on Him. And I told them, I said, if you will learn right now, I said to both groups, the young ones and the teenagers, if you will learn right now how to forgive, your marriage will be so much better. Your life will be so much richer if you will learn to let the debts go. Let God handle the vengeance. And let God heal you. Let God heal you. Not you by seeking revenge on them. Not you by carrying it in your soul. Often, when you do not forgive, they know nothing. They go right on with their life. They're happy. You're over here hurt, carrying it in your soul. Don't do that. They're not that important. They're not so important that they ruin your day, your life. Don't do that, young people. And let me just tell you right now, a lot of adults, maybe some of your parents, have not learned to forgive. And they're miserable people. They're distressed. They anger quickly, easily, on these type of things. Please learn to forgive. And I will talk more about that in a few moments. But forgiveness, secondly, next, forgiveness does not mean condoning. Forgiveness does not mean condoning their sin. You are not condoning what they have done. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. You can't forget. remember. But as far as when it comes to your mind, there's no animosity. No animosity. You let it go. See? So it doesn't mean condoning. It doesn't mean forgiving or forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean excusing them. Forgiveness from God results in reconciliation. This is not necessarily true between humans. Forgiveness is the fact of setting someone free from obligation to you as a result that they've done wrong against you. So there are three main things you want to remember about forgiveness. Injury, verbally, physically, whatever. Injury, sin hurts. Debt, they now owe you. Cancellation. Those are the three main aspects of forgiveness. Injury, they've hurt you. Debt, they now owe you. Cancellation, forgiven. Don't owe me anymore. Categories of forgiveness. One, God forgiving unbelievers and believers. Two, believers forgiving other believers, believers, and self. And we spend some time, you've got to forgive yourself. You cannot carry around guilt. You cannot carry around shame. If you go to bed at night and you have guilt or shame inside of you, forgive yourself. Release yourself of the debt. Relieve yourself of the blame. Let it go. Turn it over to God. With the older group, I said, a woman may have abortion and then starts getting convicted by the Holy Spirit, by Christians, by life. She can't carry around guilt. She can't carry around shame. She's got to forgive herself and move on in the plan of God. Nothing is gained in life by not forgiving yourself. You must forgive yourself to be able to advance in the plan of God. Because if you carry that shame, you're carrying that sin, you've not dealt with it. You've not gone to God with it. You've not trusted God about it. You're carrying it around. It will be a burden. It will prevent you from growing spiritually and enjoy the Christian life. Learn to forgive yourself. And then added to that, we've got believers. Forgiving believers, forgiving unbelievers, forgiving self, and I added another category. Forgiving those who have died. And this primarily with the older ones. Yes, you can forgive someone who's died. Someone may have hurt you, molested you, as a child. Now they have died. You have not forgiven them, and you carry that in your soul. You carry that hurt, that anger, that vengeance, and they're gone! They're not even here! You've got to forgive them. You've got to forgive them and move on. You've got to release them of the debt that they owe you. You're not letting them get away with anything, young people. They're not getting away with anything. God will take care of that. Turn it over to God. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. See? So, you've got to learn to do this. You've got to learn to forgive. And if you will learn this as little children, if you will learn this as teenagers, you will be so far ahead in life You can't imagine how far ahead you'll be than a lot of adults. As far as stress, distress, anxiety, bewilderment, hatred, anger, learn to forgive. And learn to let it go. Reconciliation, restoration to fellowship, after being separated by sin. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. By the way, as I'm going through these, if you've got any questions or comments, it's just, we're family here, just raise it up, let it go. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Second Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is what we're here for. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm so thankful we've gone through Colossians, almost gone through it. We're almost through. I've been fervently in prayer about what we're going to do next. And Judas says we should do Ezekiel on Sunday morning, but I don't know. But the Colossians chapter 1, and in Colossians 1, let's look at 20 and 21. Colossians 1, 20. And through Him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, which happens when you believe in Christ. You are made holy before God. Okay. What we're going to do now is just look at how this all came about. First of all, man started in the garden in harmony with God, minus sin, in harmony with God. Then man sinned. It was not a sexual sin. It was a food sin. Yes. All right. So, I like that. I'm so thankful it wasn't sex. Man alive, sex has enough blame for everything anyway. So, I'm glad it wasn't blame for the original sin. All right. Then man sinned. Now he's out of harmony with God, with the righteousness of God, and therefore separated from God, and under condemnation for his sins, and in a state of unrighteousness. There is so much that Adam experienced and Eve experienced. The personal sin, the inherited sin nature, so much happened at that point. The wages, there's that debt. That debt. The wages of sin is spiritual death. That's what we owe God. Remember the three words. See? And the second is debt. We owe Him. And what we owe God is spiritual death. But man is born spiritually dead. And therefore cannot pay the penalty. Not able to pay the penalty. And having an inherited sin nature, he cannot make himself righteous. So, he's spiritually dead. So, he can't pay the debt. He has an inherited sin nature. So, he cannot make himself righteous. Solution, John 3:16. For in this manner, God loved the world, that He gave His only Son to die spiritually, physically on the cross, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, every unbeliever stands not forgiven of his sins, even though God is propitiated. God is satisfied by the spiritual and physical death of Christ. So now everyone stands before God, where God is satisfied with him, sees him without sin. This is the negative side of the gospel. So here I got into the positive and negative side of the gospel. Gospel has a negative and a positive. The negative is a sin problem. He removed the debt. It's taken care of. It's taken care of. It's forgiven. It's reconciled. It's propitiated. Over with. It's not forgiven. That was the wrong time to put that word in there. Because the negative side of the gospel is that God is propitiated. The sins have been paid for. That's the negative side. But we're still unrighteous. Alienated from God. The removal of the payment of sin has not solved the problem. We now come to the positive side of the gospel. When a person believes in Christ, God imputes them with perfect righteousness. And therefore, acceptable, justified, to God, and therefore forgiven if they believe in Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer who is reconciled with God by faith, chooses to sin, at this point, he has broken fellowship with God. He has broken that fellowship with God. So therefore, he must get back, and she must get back to fellowship with God. Already forgiven. Nowhere are we told to ask God to forgive us. But a lot of preachers say that. I talked with John and Jody. We went back and forth over this whole thing of forgiveness for a couple of months. How we all understood what was going on. We called each other heretics. We had a lot of fun with each other. See? Nowhere are we told to ask God for forgiveness. We are forgiven the moment you believe in Christ. So what happens in 1 John 1, 9 and 10 is to claim what is already yours. He has already forgiven. He has already cleansed. Claim what is yours by faith. And when we as a believer, by faith in the Holy Spirit, we're claiming what is ours, and He puts us back into that righteous state that we are positionally with God. Now, I close with some questions about forgiving one another, forgiving others in sin. Example, what is the basis of your forgiving another person? Believer, unbeliever, dead person, self. What is the basis of your forgiveness? What is it? Cross. That's our basis. As God has forgiven us in Christ. That's the basis of our forgiveness. They did better than y'all did. Man, they were with me. Alright. So the basis of forgiving is the cross work of Christ. Now we come to a very important question. Why should I forgive? Why should I, as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, why should I forgive? People, we forgive so that we can go on with our life, so that we can be reconciled, so that we can have fellowship. This is why God forgave. He wanted to have fellowship with us. See? And that's why we forgive. What are the results of forgiveness? Okay. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Let me give you four things. One, forgiveness is not forgetting. Two, forgiveness is not condoning. Three, forgiveness does not mean you no longer hurt. You no longer feel pain. That may take a while. 4, forgiveness does not mean that you do not let them, what it means is you do not let them be in that position to hurt you that way again. Doesn't mean you don't do that. Example, you have a little shop, you have somebody run the cash register, and they steal money from you, and you find out. You forgive them, maybe you fire them, maybe you don't. Let's say you don't fire them. You keep them on, but not at the cash register. They're back in the stock room now, where they can steal there. See? But the point is, forgiveness doesn't mean that you allow them that position to hurt you again in many cases. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not condoning. Forgiveness does not mean that you no longer feel pain and hurt. You may feel pain and hurt until you learn to turn it over to the Lord. Until you turn it over to the Lord and move on. See? You have to make a decision to let go. You have to make a conscious decision to let go. You have to stop being, and this was very important, stop being the victim. Little children, teenagers, boys and girls, stop being the victim. Look what they've done to me. Stop being the victim. Forgive them and move on. As long as you carry this victim banner, you'll never forgive and you'll never go on with your life. We have a big deal in our society today. The women are the victims. Christians are the victims. Everybody's a victim. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. See? And forgiveness to them and self. Forgiving them and forgiving yourself is imperative to a good Christian life, to a happy life in Christ. Forgiveness, this is so important, I spent a lot of time on this with both groups. Forgiveness does not stop sinning. Many people do not want to forgive because I know you'll do it again. Why should I forgive you when I know you'll do it again? Wife to husband, husband to wife, parent to child, child to parent, people to people. Forgiveness does not stop sinning again. It doesn't stop. Don't ever think that your forgiveness has some kind of power over them. Forgiveness does not mean they're not going to do it to you again. Peter asked Christ, do I forgive him 7 times a day? He thought he was really stepping out there. 7 times a day, think about that. That's every hour for 7 hours, they do the same thing to you again, the day after that day. Peter thought, that's pretty good. Hour's not very long. And they didn't have a clock, but he knew it wasn't very long. See? What Christ say? 70 times 7. In other words, infinitely. It doesn't stop them. It does not stop them from sinning. Now, look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. With that, let's look at Mark 11. Yes? Do what? Well, let's put it all together. Mark 11:25. I'll tell you right now, both Jody and John Entz said, don't even go here. But, you know, I dare to tread where angels go. All right, Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now let's look at Luke 6. Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Okay, what's going on with these verses? This is what's going on. Relationship. Relationship. Relationship between you and God. That's why we have faith recovery from sin. We are forgiven of sin. But when we sin, we break fellowship with God. Now the great question comes, how can I be restored to fellowship? Many people think you have to confess your sins. If you confess your sins, God will forgive you. See? That's not what's going on. We have to have fellowship with God. You cannot have fellowship with God if we have a sin problem in breaking that fellowship in our natural lives. So therefore, how are we going to be restored to fellowship with God? How did we do it originally? By faith. That's how we did it originally. That's how we did it as unbelievers. That's how we're going to do it as believers. By faith. See? Now, we come down to our relationship with one another. Husband, wife, parent, child, brother, sister. I dealt a lot with brother and sister with the kids. Brother and sister. People at church. People at school. Getting ready to go back to school. Boo! Go back to school. And this kind of thing. You want to have fellowship. Reconciliation with these people. You've got to learn to forgive. Now, what happens is, if I, think about this now, do not forgive, I'm out of the plan of God. If I'm out of the plan of God, I'm not right with God. I want to be right with God. So, let's take this, and let me see if I can give you another example. Let's say you rob 7-Eleven. Now, you want to have fellowship with God. You've got to stop robbing 7-Elevens. You can't just continue to rob 7-Eleven and think God is going to forgive you and you're in fellowship with Him. When, and relate that to not forgiving. If I do not forgive, I'm harboring in my soul unforgiveness. Their sin to me, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with them, and I'm not right with God. I've got to make myself right with God and right with others. So, what God is saying in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that if you're wrong in your relationship with others, how could you possibly be in the right in your relationship with Him? You can't. You can't be. You can't be. See? So, what God is saying here is forgiveness is so vital in your relationship with Him, and it is vital in your relationship with one another. You're not going to go on in life, in the richness of life, marriage, single life, work, whatever it is, ministry. You're not going to be able to go on until you learn, young people, to forgive. And not just in words. I mean in your soul. Let it go. Turn it over to God. And the basis of you doing that is the cross of Christ. You can't talk about the cross of Christ and not be forgiving. You can't roll your eyes heavenly. You can't sing songs about the cross of Christ and mean Him if you can't forgive. got to learn to forgive based on the work of Christ on the cross. The cross is so important to us every day of our lives, not just in salvation. It's the foundation of our forgiving one another. See, as God in Christ has forgiven us, that's how we forgive one another. So your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, your relationship with others depends on learning to forgive. And it is one of the most difficult things to do in life. Many people like to talk about it, but they don't do it. In their soul, they harbor unforgiveness. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to your life. They're not that important. See? They're just not that important. You can forgive without spending time with them. And I even said, do you have to go to that person and tell them? No. You don't have to go to them. How would you do that to a dead person? You don't have to go. If it turns out where somewhere or another in life God turns it out where you do, then you do. See? But you can forgive someone without spending any time with them. You make that conscious decision in your own bedroom, wherever you are. Make that decision. Forgiveness does not mean you trust them. See? Take the responsibility for yourself, for your hurt, your own relationship with God, people. That's what's really important in your relationship with one another, is your own relationship with God. Don't let them influence your relationship with God. And people, don't kid yourself, they do if you don't forgive. You cannot say, I'm not going to forgive, but I love Jesus. Don't get that right. You don't get that. That doesn't work that way. See, we've got to learn to forgive as God forgave in Christ. Then you can have a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is a choice. You've got to make a deliberate decision to forgive. Now, closing, benefits of forgiveness. One, spiritually healthy to your own soul. Spiritually healthy to your own soul. Two, spiritually healthy in your relationship with God, with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Three, your physical relationship with others. Physical relationship with others. And finally, it takes care of anxiety, anger, depression, being sarcastic. Every time you think of a person, immediately you don't have the sarcastic attitudes. All of that's over if you truly know how to forgive. Unforgiveness will wreck your life. It'll wreck your soul. It'll wreck your spiritual life. There'll always be that area. That'll be your trend that destroys your Christian life. See? By the way, one thing, I have time, I want to share this with you. One thing. I was going to save this for the next class, but I want you to hear it now. In 1393, I thought John and I and Joy were one of the first ones to teach on spiritual death, but we weren't. 1393, before Martin Luther, Martin of Mayence, M-A-Y-E-N-C-E, is burned as a heretic at Cologne, C-O-L-O-G-N-E, Germany. Because he belongs to a group known as Friends of God. He refuses to observe the days and hours of prayer and worship commanded by the church. And listen to this. He regards all Christians as priests. Universal priesthood. Maintains that outward works of the flesh have no merit before God. Totally opposed to the Catholic Church. And then finally, preaches that the Lord Jesus suffered more in bearing the judgment of God than enduring the pain of the cross, spiritual death. So, just thought I'd throw that in since we've dealt with spiritual death here. All right, any questions? Yes?
Let me recap so I'll be sure I got it.
Okay.
Man is not reconciled to God until faith in Christ?
Yes.
Is man redeemed? Is redemption only with faith in Christ?
Yes.
So, there were three things, big things that you talked about before as far as what happens on the cross. Propitiation, redemption, and propitiation. And propitiation is Godward. So God in His righteousness can accomplish salvation, and He can be propitiated because He's not worried about man.
Yes.
But reconciliation is reconciling man. So man is involved, and
yes, man is involved.
And so this, redemption is sinward, but that's man's sin. So until man has faith, then he doesn't get the benefit of that.
That's right.
Okay.
Good.
I want to go back to what Mike said in Matthew. If you do not forgive men, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Does that mean we're out of fellowship,
yes,
with God?
That's all that means.
So it doesn't mean like He's mad at you and saying...
No, you don't need salvation.
Huh?
He doesn't go back and do it at the cross.
Yeah.
It's all about fellowship.
But it almost sounds like,
yes,
if you don't forgive, then He's not going to forgive you. And if He doesn't forgive us, but we know what goes back to the
cross.
That's
why that verse is called, yeah, a great deal of trouble.
Yeah.
Great deal
would.
Of trouble.
Yeah.
Great deal. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Get ready for the next class. Father, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We know we sin. We know that we cannot earn forgiveness. We're forgiven because of your love through the work of your Son on the cross. Pray, Father, you'll take the things we've seen this morning. Let them settle in our souls. Get everything straightened out in our souls about this thing called forgiveness. That we, Heavenly Father, can go on in our spiritual life. Grow and be a witness to Christ by forgiving others and forgiving ourselves. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.